evenings, why doesn't this young man realize that these awful noises simply don't do anything for his otherwise wonderful program if he do more?
Hi, gang. Certainly a long trail of winding into the land of my dreams. A long trail of winding into the land of my dreams. Just want you to marinate there for a minute and consider that. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. They fly so high, nearly reach the sky. And then, like my dreams, they fade and die. Oh, I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. Oh, I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air.
You know, thank you, it's all right. That's all right. No. I do not have the overweening ego of the second-rate performer. Mine is the overweening ego of the first-rate performer. So applause is something I just don't need at this point. I'm just considering bubbles floating into the air. And like my dreams, they fade and die. May I please...
I'd show you what it's all about, gang.
Forever blowing bubbles. Here is a note on an action-packed evening of heavyweight history. It's in the store for boxing fans at Madison Square Garden, Tuesday, October 29th. See the fight that you've been waiting for. The greatest fight in the century. Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman for the heavyweight championship of the world. Live and in color, direct from Zaire, Africa, on four giant screens. And as an exclusive preliminary event, the 45-minute film highlighting the 28 greatest heavyweight championship fights of all. Oh, that could be dangerous. I mean, if you precede your fight with a film of 28 great fights, you're liable to... Oh, look out, friends. That could be bad news. But nevertheless, you can see this exciting event at the Garden, only at the Garden. Will you be able to get a ringside seat for the closed-circuit coverage of the Ali-Foreman fight, plus a chance to see nearly 100 years of heavyweight title fights featuring all the great champs from John L. Sullivan to Foreman? Boxing fans, it's hard to say who will win the Ali-Foreman fight, but you'll be an easy winner if you watch it at the Garden. Tickets for this unforgettable fight night of the year are on sale for $3.
$30. Oh, excuse me. $30, $25, and $20 at the Garden box office and at Ticketron outlets everywhere. The action starts at 8:45 p.m. See the Ali Foreman fight. See all the heavyweight champions. Tuesday, October 29th, at the one place you know you can see the best in boxing. Come to New York's Madison Square Garden. And they're off and running.
Today, we're in the Barnes & Noble bookstore, where you'll find more books that can teach you how to do more things than you'll find in any other bookstore in the world.
Oh, look at this. A book on how to acquire a foreign accent. How's this?
Acquire a foreign accent?
To be alone.
Meet the balls.
From now on, I fix the car myself. And this book is going to show me how to
acquire a foreign accent.
Books that teach you how to do things are a specialty of the house at
Barnes & Noble. Did I hear that right?
We've got books on how to invest in repair in Mexico, renovate a brownstone, make bread, make love, dress a hog, get a divorce for $50, start a circus, even speak Swahili. You'll find all this and more when you come to the Barnes & Noble bookstore at 5th Avenue and 18th Street in Manhattan, the country's biggest bookstore of any kind, and probably the most interesting.
Hey, do you have a book on how to become a magician? Dizzy, I'm trying to get rid of this rabbit.
Barnes & Noble, and you thought we only sold textbooks.
That's fantastic, a book on how to get a foreign accent. So you can go to Luigi's and say, I'll have the meatloaf. And he'll know that you belong there. Meatloaf and the French fries. God almighty. Have you ever had the feeling that life is indeed a 4,000 ring circus? My God, the calliopes are playing. People are cheering and yelling. 20,000 people are going to watch a fight on a screen. 50 million people are buying a book on how to acquire a foreign accent. I mean, this is the way of the surrealist world. I mean, you have to realize that the surrealist is not often dealing in anything but reality. For example, I have a note here. Wait, where is it here? Hey, by the way, did you know that there is a fashion in dogs' names? I just have a note here handed to me. It says, Rover and Spot is no longer the number two and number one names for dogs. Did you know that? Nope, Rover and Spot are gone down the drain. And Fido is way down at number 17. Actually, I never knew anybody who had a dog named Fido. Did you? Rover? No, I can't honestly say that either. Spot? You knew a Rover, right? You knew a Rover. Spot? No, I never knew a dog named Spot. Wait a minute. Yes, I did know a dog one time named Spot. Come to think of it, actually, one of the worst dogs I ever knew in my life was a dog named Zero. Now, Zero, incidentally, was from a comic strip. And I will give you a brass fig de gee with a golden silver leaf palm if you can tell me what comic strip Zero starred in. Zero was an early Snoopy. Yeah, you know, dogs go through... dogs have always been big in comic strips, sure. Let's face it, Sandy was a biggie. And still is a sort of big, I suppose, in certain backwater circles. But, Spot, now come on, Zero. Who owns Zero? What comic strip character owned Zero? If you're a student of Americana, you'd know that right off the bat. Zero. Zero was the name of a dog. Well, that was the worst dog I ever knew, Zero. My mother, I can recall, just a terrible scene. How many of you have ever lived next door to a really bad news dog? Now, I'm tolerant. I'm really a tolerant person. I know of a friend of mine who lived in a little house up in, where was it, White Plains, or was it Flushing or the Bronx or someplace? And a TV antenna fell off the top of the building next door and fell 17 stories and went right through their roof. That's enough to make you hate TV. Milton Berle and the whole business. Did that occur to you? It didn't? Well, I know somebody to whom it did. As a matter of fact, more than that, it resulted in a fist fight. A guy got so mad at the guy next door to him that he went out and took the TV antenna, ripped it off the roof, 17 stories high, threw it right off the side, and it fell right down and right through the other guy's roof. And that did not cause peace and happiness to come to the neighborhood. And this friend of mine says that was the first time he had this fantastic realization that his old man had another life that he didn't know about. The guy came downstairs after he threw the TV antenna off and went through the roof. The guy came downstairs and says, "See, that's what you get." And with that, his old man hit the guy right in the beak. He says, knocked him flat. He couldn't believe it. The police came. They took his old man away. And, you know, 4 hours later and a couple of assault and battery charges later, he came home. He said, from that minute on, the old man was a hero at home. I mean, now, not many of you have ever actually seen your father get in a fight. You actually saw your old man get in a fight? I mean, hit somebody? Did you? Well, I would like to say that I saw my old man get in a fight, but I will say this. I did not see that. But I did see my old man one time have the most unbelievable argument with an umpire that I ever... I was very much influenced by that. There are certain ball players and certain performers in the world of athletics who accept decisions. I mean, maybe not gracefully, but stoically. And they do. You know, you see, for example, you see a guy running downfield on a punt, and everybody's watching the guy that's going to catch the punt. You know, you've seen this. The punt is coming down on the 16-yard line. Everybody's watching. What you're now watching is all these linemen charging upfield, see? And inevitably, somebody clips somebody else. Well, there's that brief moment. The guy grabs the ball, runs back 96 yards for a touchdown, and there's a whistle. A couple of guys throw the yellow handkerchiefs on the field, and it comes all the way back. I saw one time in a football game. I was in a football game. Personally, I was in this game. What a great moment in football. We had this fantastic halfback. Really, guy could really run. And he played on what would be called today special teams. He was always in safety when anybody was punting. And he was always back, drifting around back around the 16-yard line, up around the 20-yard line, waiting for the punt, see? And he was kind of a tall, thin, mean, high cheekbone type. If you can imagine Jack Palance bugged, that was this guy. He was perpetually mad. And I think it came from the food that he ate. I wonder how much temper comes from the food we eat. Have you noticed how tempestuous Latin politics are? Well, have you ever had a bowl of really mean chili? Well, I'll tell you. On the other hand, curiously enough, as you go further north, the food gets blander. Until finally, you get up to the Arctic Circle, and you're sitting around with the Eskimos, and they're eating seal blubber. Nothing tastes blander than seal blubber. It has all the exciting taste of eating an after-dinner candle. You know, that's about the extent of it. So, you know, it's a bland. And I've often wondered whether or not there's a relationship between the kind of food we eat and the, let's say, the volatility factor. You know, the volatile. You know, caramba! You know, after the guys had 7 or 8 tortillas, you know, they're steaming enchiladas. And down goes a half a bowl of chili, and he's knocked it down with a couple of slugs of tequila. And then he walks out on the street, and somebody bumps into him. What does he do? Caramba! And then the next thing you know, there's a fist fight. There's a revolution. The country topples. Machine guns are in the street. And El Benefactor is out there riding on his white horse, wearing them black shades, and he's going to save him again. You know, you've seen this time and time again. I mean, let's face it. Italy has the most, let's put it this way, the most unpredictable political and economic situation in all of Europe, and always has had. Why? Well, let's see. They have some pretty spectacular food in Italy. I mean, you never find palace revolutions in Sweden. Why? You know. I mean, how mad can you get over a smoked herring? I mean, it's just not the way. But you have yourself some of that lasagna. I mean, you get some of that lasagna made out of pure plaster of Paris. And, you know, with the cheese that's gone a little bad and a little tomato sauce that has just a little bit too much oregano in it. And the next thing you know, come, follow me! And down comes the kingdom. I just wonder how much food has to... I don't know what Nixon ate. We have no report on what Nixon had for breakfast every morning, but I would suggest that it contributed to his feeling of insecurity all day long. I suspect. A guy sitting down to a good, honest bowl of Wheaties, you know, and then for lunch he sits down to a good, honest cheeseburger, and at night he has a good, honest plate of meatloaf and mashed potatoes and peas, there's a guy that ain't going to push over nothing, right? This is a shepherd's, volatility theory here, as opposed to virility theory. It's another thing. We'll get into that later. That comes next semester. But the volatile, have you ever wondered? Well, this guy was a volatile guy. I mean, he was mean. He was mean all the time. And you know why? He lived on an entire diet consisting almost exclusively of dishes made out of paprika. You know what is it, paprika? It is not, the blandest of spices. You agree? Well, this halfback, one day... you thought I wasn't going to get back to the story. Well, you just don't know a pro when you hear one. Before I tell you the disastrous event that occurred on the 27-yard line in a ball game of which I was part of, I'll have to lay a few goodies on you first, please.
That's a nifty new car. How much?
Yes.
Super, including tinted glass? Oh, this
cat
break?
Bridges is digging.
White wall? Reclining bucket? How about an electric car?
Don't let a low ball.
Out of the hills
price,
come the samurai.
The true cost of a new car is the price the way you want it, not strict. The Datsun 710 comes with all those extra standards, things other cars charge extra for. Plus, full carpeting, electric rear window defogger, full wheel covers, and lots more. And don't forget Datsun's great gas mileage, low maintenance, and high resale value. Take a test drive in a Datsun 710 two-door sedan, four-door sedan, hardtop, or the new five-door wagon soon. When you compare costs, true costs, you'll see that Datsun really does save.
Yeah, get to know the true cost of a Datsun. Go see one of the 56 Datsun dealers in the New York, New Jersey, and Fairfield County area.
Here is Assemblywoman Constance Cook.
Women received a big boost in their battle for equal rights in 1974 under the vigorous leadership of Governor Wilson. One of the most important achievements was the elimination of discrimination against women in obtaining credit at stores and banks for mortgages, buying a car, or any other transaction requiring the borrowing of money. The New York Times called Governor Wilson's credit law one of the toughest anti-discrimination laws in the country. Governor Wilson also signed a law making it easier to prosecute rape cases. He has directed all state agencies to vigorously combat discrimination in any area against women and to explore ways to improve employment opportunities. This year also marked the first passage of the New York State Equal Rights Amendment. Women in New York have every reason to be proud of the important advances they have made under Republican leadership towards their goal of equality.
Elect Governor Wilson, Governor. Paid for by the friends of the Governor Wilson team.
I'm Fran Allison. On nights when you have trouble falling asleep, what are some of the things you do to help? Well, I sleep with my head at the other end of the bed. Sometimes that helps. I eat.
I do relaxing exercises, starting with my toes.
You didn't know that.
And I usually sleep before I reach my shoulders.
On those occasional nights when you have trouble falling asleep, and exercise and counting sheep just don't seem to work, try Compose. Compose simply relaxes and unwinds you so your body is able to fall asleep more easily. Of course, by falling asleep more easily, you're going to feel better the next morning. So take Compose on those occasional nights when you have trouble sleeping. If you're not satisfied in any way with Compose, mail Compose the box top and they'll send you double your money back. Remember, the more easily you fall asleep, the better you feel the next morning. Compose. Use only as directed. It's guaranteed.
Can you see a guy writing a totally mean, angry bug letter to an outfit named Compose. I mean, dear Compose, you guys! it just occurred to me. I've never written to a manufacturer in my life, have you? Never. I don't know why. I guess that shows a lack of relevancy in me. I suppose I should start writing angry letters, right? I didn't really write them, you know. But, you want to hear what happened on a 27-yard line? Okay, all right. All right. Okay. It was one of those nights. You know, some nights, because we played all-night football with the, the lights, the whole bit. And playing night football is not quite the same as playing day football. For those of you who've ever played the two, you know that there's a vast difference. For one thing, you feel more like playing, curiously enough, at night. I don't know why. I suspect that one of the reasons why this Monday Night Football has been such a success is that everybody kind of likes to play at night. I mean, you just feel in the mood, and I can't explain it. It's just, there's an excitement with the lights on. Instead of those gray clouds and the Goodyear blimp, you know, the lights are on. I mean, there's just a certain kind of, it's like the theater, you know? The lights come on and the people come crowding in, and there's a real excitement because I've played both at night and at day, and I can tell you there is a big difference between playing. It's just a little subtle thing. It's like listening to jazz at, say, 10 in the morning. It's not the same as 1 in the morning. You know, you agree? Well, nevertheless, on this particular night, man, I tell you, everybody was up. You know, some nights you're really up, and everybody's ready. So you're just champing at the bit because this club that we were playing just a year before had defeated us roundly. And we had a really good club this year. And we're going to make a coleslaw to these guys, see? And so we're pacing around. And we had this very cool coach who was absolutely the opposite of, let's say, the Pat O'Brien image. You know, the Pat O'Brien image. And team, I want you to get out there. You realize, of course, team, that my son is dying of the pip. And he's lying in a hospital tonight. And I promised him that we would win just one more for him. You know, this kind of stuff. He was very cool. This guy, in fact, he was so cool that later, but that's another story. He's very cool. See, he'd walk around and he'd just go around and you'd be sitting there on the benches, you know, putting on your equipment and stuff. And he'd just walk around. He said, you ought to ask me for a new jersey, you know. And he'd say things like that, you know, stuff like, what the hell's the matter with that shoestring? Why don't you get a new... Don't tie knots in your shoestring, Huffine. Come on. You know, things like that. He didn't go around and say, go out and get him. See? Well, it was a beautiful night. The stars were out. The lights were lit. The place was packed. And they were lined up. And the bands were up in the stands, you know. So we come tearing out on the field. You know that big moment you come running out? And we were playing at home. And what made it even more exciting, it was the second game of the season. We had opened the season away. Now, we had two sets of uniforms. We had the away uniforms and the home uniforms. Now, since the school's color was purple and white, which is the same as what university in the Big Ten? Quick. Purple and white. I'll hum the school song of that school. All right, Northwestern. Northwestern's Wildcats were purple. We were also the Wildcats, see? So we had purple and white was the color. Well, this was kind of an exciting season because they changed uniforms. We got new uniforms every second season. You know, the most pro teams are like that. And, everybody thinks they get new uniforms every season, but they don't, really. That's an expensive deal, you know. So we used to get new uniforms every second season. Well, this was the uniform season, you know. So the first game was away. When you were away, you wore the white ones. I just wore the white ones with the purple trim, the purple letters. But now we were playing in our brand new purple uniforms for the first time. And they were beautiful, I'm telling you. We had See, we didn't actually use white. We used silver out on this field. And we had these, you know, these brand new beautiful silver pants with these light purple jerseys, real light ones with big silver numbers on the back, and we had the silver helmet with a big silver Wildcat, a big purple Wildcat and silver helmet, the whole thing. See, fantastic. So we were running out on the field, and we always had a kind of a thing where the coach would run out first. See, the coach runs out, and we go streaming out behind him. The crowd roars, and it was a great moment. Well, the toss is made. Many a ball game, by the way, is lost in that toss. Believe it or not, it really does happen, especially if the clubs are evenly matched. See, the guy that receives first can often destroy the morale of the guy who kicks off, or vice versa, depending on what happens on that play. So up goes the coin, and our captain, who later became an All-American, but here he is out there. See, he calls the toss, and he always called the same toss. He always said tails. He never won a toss in 4 years, but he always said tails. They always came up heads. I don't know why. So he says, tails, up come the heads. All right. So we always, automatically, it was just his way. Automatically, the kickoff team would go trotting out. We were always kicking off. We never received hardly. So we go out there, and I was on the kickoff team. See? So we lined up. We had a pretty good kicker. Now, I don't know why I'm telling you this. This is a dull story. But this gives you an idea of the kind of things that happen inside of a football game. So we had a pretty good kicker. Well, we line up to kick off, and the ball is put down on the tee. You know, a little tee they put down. He puts the ball down. And the whistle blows. What a feeling, boy, that excitement. You go sweeping up, see? You go sweep up, boom, he kicks off, and instantly whistles go. What the hell? And sort of milling around, somebody's offside. So I look down there, and DeGallio has gone offside. DeGallio is a guy on the other side of the line. He's ahead of the kicker, see? So he turns around. There's a little argument going. So we go back 5 yards, as you always do, see? So now, all right, okay. That's a little edge off of you right there. It's just a little edge, you know. It's like going out of the starting gate and everybody calls the horses back. So we go back to kick off again. And the whistles blow and the crowd starts yelling. And our kicker goes charging forward. Left-footed kicker, by the way. He goes charging up to the ball. And he kicks this low bouncing ground ball. You know, it's a hopping. Instead of hoisting it, he was just a little off his timing. The ball hops about three times, see? And it rolls right down the sidelines. It cuts over and rolls down the sidelines. And I'll be damned. The one guy that our coach had said, don't kick it to, scooped it up. He goes down the sidelines, 96 yards for a touchdown. Well, all right. Okay. So the ball game is like 8, maybe 10 seconds old. Naturally, they kick the extra point, and it's now 7-0. Okay. So, all right, okay, we're going to... Now we're going to receive. It's our turn, right? So at that point, the moment happened, which I will never forget, every time I watch football teams and I see these scenes go on, I remember this incident. Kickoff, right? Lined up for the kickoff. The other team sweeps up, and he got this high, beautiful, lofting kick. It was a beautiful high kick, see? And it just comes down, drifting down through the lights, down around the 5-yard line. It just drifts down. It was a beautiful spiral kick. He really got it off, boy. And there are some guys that can kick off and other guys that just kick. This guy kicked off, man. And in fact, you know, a kickoff, the higher that ball goes, the more the defenders can get down under it, see? So, boom, and that baby is going up and up in the light, see? And who is circling around under it but our ace, halfback, safety man, / all-state paprika eater? So he circles around under that thing. And I tell you, some guys, you know, there's a lot of ways to catch a kickoff. One way is to do it passively, which many football players, you know, they it's the way it is, because they're afraid of a fumble. A passive kickoff receiver is a guy that will wait for the ball to come down and, in a sense, be stationary at the time he catches it and then runs. Then there's the aggressive kickoff receiver who intends to run it back. And more than that, he's taking a lot of chances. What he will do is play maybe 10 yards behind where he knows that ball is going to come down, and then he sweeps into it and catches it on the run. Well, that's what Chandis did. He swept across and caught that baby on a run, cut for the left sideline, cut back again, and he is going. I'm telling you, man, he really moved. Well, everybody's blocking like hell, see? And zap, he's in the open, and he is moving out. I mean, he's a 98-yard run, this guy's going. And he just cuts back off to the left sideline, and everybody's running after him. Zap, he's over the line for a touch. Everybody couldn't believe it. Just people cheering. Two kickoff runs, and then there were whistles. And they're calling the play back. Calling the play back. Chittis comes running back. He's got the football. He's purple with rage. He comes running back with the ball. Who was offside? DeGallio. He comes running back, and he hit DeGallio right in the gut. He just slammed him in the gut. Well, that was the first time and the only time I've ever seen a football team fighting it out on the field between themselves, and the other team is just standing around picking its teeth. Immediately, five linemen took up the cause of DeGallio. Five backs started to fight the linemen, and we had a battle between the backs and the ends and the linemen. our coach comes running out in the field, and the minute he ran out on the field, more whistles blew because it is illegal for a coach to run out on the field. Another 10 yards. We are now back somewhere in the parking lot. We have been moved back so far that the two guys got kicked out for fighting. The only time I ever heard of guys getting kicked out for fighting their own players. We got two guys kicked out for fighting each other. We are now 10 yards for illegal motion of the coach on the field. He was trying to break up the fight. We are roughly in the parking lot for our first play of the game from scrimmage. And Chintis is bucked. Chintis is madder than hell. I mean, you know, when a play gets called back, you never think of how mad the ball player is who's just ripped off this 17 yards or this 84 yards. Oh, is he bugged? And is he bugged at the guy that did it? Everything came together that day. There was no love lost on this team anyway. We tend to think of a team as a team, but this team was not a team. It was a bunch of guys who were mad at each other all the time. So, that's right, you know. Why the hell don't you block? Quit just running. You get out of my way if you can't block, you idiot. You know, that kind of stuff. And we had a guard one time in the middle of a huddle. Quarterback said to the guard, this is a great moment. He says, listen, he says, damn it. If you're not going to block, don't louse us up. Fall down. Just lay there. Do something, but don't get in my way. He says, and at that point, the guard's face, you know, gets purple. He says, all right, smart guy. Okay, wait till the next play. I won't block. And the next play, this guy came through that line and hit the quarterback like a sack of cement. And you know, he was not colder than a canary in the winter. And at that point, you know, the love was beginning to grow in the huddle. Oh, I've seen some fantastic moments in huddles. I don't know why I'm telling you this. This is a terrible story, you know. Have I made a station break here yet? Oh, this is WOR New York. Is it okay? Can I make it now? Speaking of a loving team, we love each other here at this station. Oh, gee whiz, you know. You ought to see the love between the 23rd and the 24th floor. But nevertheless... You want to hear what happened on the next one? This is the way things can go downhill. We line up, see, and Chintis is bugged. This is our halfback. See, we had a couple of good runners, but this guy was really, he's a running back who could run. There's a lot of guys that can, you know, hold their own, but this guy could run. He was good. And Chintis is, he said, listen. He says, we go back to the huddle. And our quarterback, we had this two-tier huddle, you know. It was not really a huddle. We'd line up back, and he would give us the play. You know, he would say, 32 yellow, you know, or something like that. And so I said, watch that end coming in. I mean, okay, so we'd go out, and we'd try to execute the play. So Chandis says, 65 green. Give me it. At the Galileo, if you're in my way, I'm just going to run right up your back, buddy, and right down your front, and you ain't going to have no gut. That's all, right? And so, okay, he's going to call 65 green. So we get back in formation,
The ball is snapped. I hear a lot of thumping back at me. I hear a lot of yelling. And Chittis has fumbled in the end zone.
Well, I don't want to tell you the rest of the game. There's some games that aren't games at all. Now, I'm not going to tell you, we had a great team. As a matter of fact, we went on to win the state championship that year. That sounds like it was a good team. It was a good ball club. It was just one of those nights when the little events would happen. Like, you know, you can't predict a fumble. Chinnis was so up and so mad that when that ball came, he ate it before he got it, you know? He was running along before the quarterback could hand off to him. Boom, the ball was up in the air. And later that night, Shepard had his moment. Yes, he did. His moment of total degradation, total defeat. And you want to hear what that one was? Okay. We're down on the 8-yard line. It's the other club's 8-yard line, right? And it looks like we've got these guys. They're going to punt. The ball is snapped. The next thing I know, there's a ball rolling in front of me. It is a free ball. Shepard picks it up, plunges into the end zone, and fumbles! All I did was just lay there with seven guys on me, wondering how long this night was going to be. It was a touchdown for the only time. I don't want to tell you. I don't want to go any further. Please, a commercial.
Drains clogged? Don't double
yes,
your
they
trouble
are
with
clogged.
Home
they're
remedies.
Clogged. Oh, God, they're clogged.
That's the name.
That's the way you trouble down the drain.
Oh, that was a quickie. Oh, that made me feel better. My drains were all clogged up. Oh, some nights your sinuses and everything start to go. Oh, yeah. One night I actually saw a quarterback cry in the huddle. Now, why he was crying is a story that has nothing to do with tonight's sad tale of woe. And before we go on with that sad tale of woe, have you got a little Alfa Romeo to lay on the crew?
I'm talking about cars in the $12,000 to $18,000 range. You get a certain feeling when you get in that car and you move. It's the same kind of feeling I've gotten in the Alfa, and I've not found it in any other cars in the $5,000 to $10,000 range.
Stamford, Connecticut. I'm Lee Hunt, crossing the country talking to Alfa Romeo owners. James Fraser is the president of Comtrend.
I bought the Alfa because I looked at every other car in the price range and every other car that I thought might give me what I wanted, and I couldn't find anything else that would even come close to it.
Alfa Romeo, 3 models, Berlina 4-door, GTV Coupe, Spider Convertible, $5,700 to $6,800 POA. Test drive an Alfa, the car that's worth more at your dealer's soon.
Yes, see the new Alfa Romeo at your Alfa dealer. He's in the yellow pages.
Can you tell when I'm pouring? You probably can't. And you probably didn't notice the water that was diluting the milk millions of New Yorkers were drinking for more than 5 years. But you know something? New York State Attorney General Louis Lefkowitz did learn about it. But for almost a year, he didn't take any criminal action against the companies that did it. Even though that's his job. Now, we can't say why Louis Lefkowitz was so slow in taking action, but we do know that the New York Times, in an editorial called Tainted Milk, said, New Yorkers will hope that the tardy announcement by State Attorney General Louis J. Lefkowitz that he really is looking into possible criminal action in connection with a massive 5-year milk fraud is not just a pre-election cover-up of what had seemed a gross breach of official responsibility. That's what the New York Times said. That's why we need a new attorney general.
Paid for by the Robert Abrams for Attorney General Committee Incorporated.
Sneaky. Sneakiness at the crossroads. Well, if you haven't been to the crossroads recently, friends, and haven't been able to do a little sneaking of yourself, I would like to suggest, let's see, do we have Le Champ? Yes. The perfect restaurant for your tryst. Yes. You know what is it, a tryst? Come, my dear. We shall speak of the new typewriter we're going to get in the memo pool. I'd love to talk to you tonight at the bar about it. But we would like to recommend a restaurant called Le Champ, L-E-S-C-H-A-M-P-S, pronounced like Les Champs. Remember him? He used to play second base for the old Newark Bears. Enjoy elegant surroundings, cocktails to live music, delicious continental cuisine. Dance cheek to cheek in a softly lit atmosphere. If you are going to the theater that night, make it Les Chambres. It's on the 40th Street between Park and Madison. Reservations are LE26566. Très bon. Elegante. Right, amor.
The New York Jets play host to the Los Angeles Rams Sunday afternoon. This is Dave Herman. You can hear all the live action over WOR Radio at 12:35, brought to you in part by M&M Mars, the fun-sized candy people.
Right. That's certainly a fun crowd. You know, I don't know why I told you this story, except to say the tempers flare, friends, down there in the arena, and it's very exciting. The only time I ever was in a band playing for a football game was in my freshman year. It was illegal to play freshman football, or rather play varsity football as a freshman, and so I played in the band and played on the freshman football team the day before. I'm probably the only tuba player who ever sat behind the tuba with a wired jaw and tried to play Semper Fidelis. It's not easy. Oh, well, you get those things, you know, once in a while. You get a cleat in the mouth. You know, the worst things that happen to you in sports generally are not the more spectacular things. You know, like a broken shoulder bone or something is not that bad. You know, it's bad, but it's definite. It's the irritating thing that happens to you that is not definite and never goes away. Actually never goes away. Do you know that I had a guy one time, and I'll show it to you when we get off the air here. One night, right there, if I show it to you, there's a scar there. You see it? You can see it from the control room. Well, that came from a very interesting little incident, and it came from breaking into a backfield and getting blocked. Somebody blocked me out. I was down on the ground, and the runner stepped directly on my hand with a pair of cleats. And as he did so, he was making his cut. Now, I don't know whether you have been the fulcrum for a 210-pound runner wearing 40 pounds of equipment making his cut. Well, he just spun on my hand. And I want to tell you, I had a cut that went from my thumb all the way down to my wrist. It was fantastic. I just saw that blood squirting out all over the place, and I got up and I was, you know, now they sewed it up, but it never went away. I mean, it always hurt, and it still does. Now, on the other hand, I had a broken shoulder bone one time. No problem, you know. They put the stuff on you, and a couple of months later, it's all okay. But that hand still hurts. And, you know, and what's worse, I'm a New Yorker, you know. It's in my cab-hailing hand. And out there on a night when it's rainy and you're really competing with the big-time cab-hailers, you got to have everything going for you. You know, and it especially hurts in the rain. So I get out there in the rain and I'm hailing a cab. I'm at a disadvantage. I know at least three ad men that can beat me to a cab only in the rain because of that damn hand. Yeah, you know, you don't win any Purple Hearts for it. Nobody cheered. You don't get carried off on a stretcher because your hand is hurt. You just go wandering off the sidelines and everybody looks at you and somebody says, "Oh, boy, it's a hell of a cut, ain't it?" And I said, "Yes, it is a hell of a cut." And I went back into the dressing room and that was the end of the night for me. But it's never left me. Now, would you please, if you will? Yes, fine. I think we all ought to sing the old school song, right? Take the ball clear round the otters, we will fight. Da, 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 dee, dee. Oh, God, what's it all about? Thank you. That ends tonight's salute to Bill Mazur. It's been very exciting. WOR New York, of course, friends. Stay tuned for In Conversation.